Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, January the 13th, Pope Francis calls for a people and planet-centred post-pandemic economy. The people of Kazakhstan observe a national day of mourning. And in an exclusive interview with Vatican media, the Pope speaks about his devotion to St. Joseph and reflects on the challenges of parenthood. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis has sent a message to participants in a Vatican conference on the future of the post-pandemic economy. The event was organised by the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development in conjunction with the Vatican COVID-19 Commission. It brought together leaders in the areas of business, finance, development, economics and academia to discuss ways that societies are being changed by the pandemic. The Pope urged participants to make concrete commitments to put the global economy at the service of people and the planet. Devin Watkins reports.
Pope Francis told participants in a Vatican conference on building a better future that the economy must be at the service of people and the planet. The conference was entitled Preparing the Future, Building a Sustainable, Inclusive and Regenerative Economy, and explored new economic models that give more value to nature, people and society. The Pope repeated his insistence that we will not emerge from this crisis the same. He said the Church and all world leaders should work toward a new future by drawing on the best available science with the realism of the gospel and in solidarity with the marginalized. Unfortunately, said the Pope, 2 years now from the start of the pandemic, we must admit that we have missed many opportunities to change our approach. Rather, he added, we are perpetrating new injustices and inequalities. He highlighted the challenges of equitable vaccine distribution, the rise in poverty and the arms trade, and the threats facing the environment. Pope Francis called on participants to refrain from putting out declarations of intent or messages about grand principles. Rather, he urged business leaders to redefine their measure of success as the number of people who move out of extreme poverty instead of profits and expansion. And he wondered, is it so difficult to assure the conditions whereby everyone can contribute to transforming the world with their work? The Pope wrapped up his message reminding everyone that they can make a difference and expressed his hope that we would all accept the responsibility to prepare a different future. At the event, Cardinal Michael Czerny, the prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, said the pandemic is only the most recent of many warnings humanity has received that our current ways of living are not working. And he reiterated the Pope's message saying that preparing the future can awaken our creative spirit. The Cardinal concluded that our efforts now can also help us find new paths to live together in peace with special care for the least among us and in peace with our planet. I'm Devin Watkins.
A national day of mourning is taking place across Kazakhstan today, in particular across the Diocese of Astana, which the capital, Nur-Sultana, is a part of. As Francisca Merlo reports, the initiative is taking place in parishes across the country as citizens mourn the deaths of at least 200 protesters during bloody revolts last week.
Across Kazakhstan on Thursday, the clergy of the Diocese of Astana, including in the capital Nur-Sultan, will be celebrating Mass to pray for the victims and for peace in our beloved Kazakhstan. The initiative came from Archbishop Thomas Beta, who in a message broadcast on national television on Monday the 10th of January, called on his fellow citizens to do everything possible to peacefully resolve the current crisis in the country. In his message in Russian, sent to the Pontifical Foundation Aid to the Church in Need, the pastor of the Archdiocese of Mary Most Holy of Astana, the Episcopal See of the Catholic Church covering the northern territory of Kazakhstan, lamented the tragic incidents of recent weeks, in the course of which nearly 200 people lost their lives. We mourn the victims, he said. Archbishop Petr himself will celebrate Mass for this intention at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Perpetual Help in the capital Nur-Sultan, formerly known as Astana. On Sunday, after the Angelus prayer, Pope Francis spoke about the incidents in Kazakhstan and entrusted Kazakhstan to the protection of Our Lady Queen of Peace. Archbishop Petr noted that following the Pope's appeal, we too want to ask for peace through the intercession of the patroness of our country, the Queen of Peace. Sources have reported to Aid to the Church in Need that the situation in Nur-Sultan is currently fairly calm, whilst Almaty in the south of the country, where the clashes were more serious, is still reporting difficulties. Despite these difficulties, the Bishop of Almaty and President of the Bishops' Conference of Kazakhstan, Archbishop José Luis Mumbiela, was able to join the call to prayer on the National Day of Mourning for the victims. In a message sent in Russian to aid of the church in need, Bishop Mumbiela said, "Here in Almaty, we thank you all for your prayers, compassion and concern. We want to remember in our prayers those who suffered the most during the last week." The bishop added that we must remember that peace is in our hands and depends on us. Let us try to rebuild the Kazakhstan that we all dream of together, with all the people of this country and this city, an international and interreligious Kazakhstan, a Kazakhstan of peace and harmony. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The United Nations has appealed for $3.9 billion this year to help millions of people in war-torn Yemen. Acting Assistant Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Deputy Emergency Relief Coordinator Ramesh Rajasinghe told the UN Security Council that the biggest constraint right now is funding to help about 16 million people in Yemen, where a brutal conflict has been raging for nearly 7 years. Here are some excerpts of what he said.
Civilian casualties continue to be reported at alarming rates. In December, 358 civilians were reportedly killed or injured as a direct result of hostilities, a figure that is tied for the highest in 3 years. Again, I urge all parties to take constant care to spare civilians and civilian objects as required by international humanitarian law. As we have reported many times, the war is also causing hunger, displacement, economic collapse, and the deterioration of basic services. As in many crises, women and girls are bearing the brunt. Even before the conflict, Yemen consistently ranked at or near the bottom of global gender equality indices. But the war has made the situation far worse for women and girls. This manifests itself in a myriad of ways, including restrictions on basic rights like freedom of movement, reduced access to education, and higher rates of illiteracy and poverty. Access to reproductive health care is particularly precarious, with one woman dying every 2 hours during childbirth from almost entirely preventable causes. As people struggle to survive, the humanitarian community is doing everything we can to help. In 2021, aid agencies assisted more than 11 million people every month. But this humanitarian response in Yemen faces far too many constraints. The biggest constraint right now is funding. Last year's response plan was 58% funded, making it the lowest funded appeal for Yemen since 2015. In December, the World Food Programme announced cuts in food assistance for 8 million people due to funding shortages. We expect this year's aid operation to need roughly as much money as last year, or about $3.9 billion to help 16 million people. Nationwide assessments are underway now to provide evidence for the 2022 response plan. And I call on all donors to sustain, and if possible, to increase their support this year. But the most transformative change will come only with an end to the fighting that is supported by a lasting and just peace agreement.
And that was UN Deputy Emergency Relief Coordinator Ramesh Rajasinghe. Russia has described its security talks with the United States and NATO this week as unsuccessful, saying there is continued disagreement on fundamental issues. The Kremlin spokesman said today that the two rounds of discussions had produced some positive nuances, but that Moscow was looking for concrete results. The talks are centered on Russia's security demands from the West and its build-up troops near Ukraine. The Pope today met with members of Catholic Action France, telling them the Word of God is the blueprint for their ministry. In his greeting to the delegation, he recalled their tradition of coming to meet the Pope that goes back to the time of Pope Pius XI. The association has chosen Apostles Today as its theme for this pilgrimage to Rome. And with this in mind, Pope Francis reflected on the call to be effective apostles today. Lydia O'Kane reports.
The Pope noted that when the disciples walk with Jesus, they begin by recalling the events they have experienced. Then they recognize the presence of God in those events. Finally, they act by returning to Jerusalem to announce the resurrection of Christ. Pope Francis then focused his attention on what he called three stages: see, judge, and act.
Vedere, giudicare e agire.
Seeing, said the Pope, is the first basic stage, which consists of stopping to observe the events that make up our lives. Stressing the importance of memory, Pope Francis dwelt on his encyclical Fratelli Tutti, which he said begins with a look at the sometimes worrying situation in our world. It may seem a little pessimistic, but it is necessary in order to move forward, he said. Focusing his attention on the second stage, to judge or discern, the Pope said that this is the moment in which we allow ourselves to be questioned and challenged. The key to this stage is the reference to sacred scripture. It is a matter of accepting that one's life is subjected to the scrutiny of the Word of God, he explained. During his address, Pope Francis noted that Catholic action movements have developed in their history true synodal practices, especially in group life, which is the basis of their experience. He noted that the Church as a whole is also engaged in a synodal process and that their contribution was needed.
Anche la Chiesa, nel suo insieme, è avviata un processo sinodale.
Arriving at the third stage, acting, the Pope described how the Gospel teaches that action should always have God's initiative. Pope Francis noted that the times we live in today are not the same as they were even a few years ago. Today, especially in Europe, he pointed out, those who attend Christian movements are more sceptical about institutions. They seek less demanding and more fleeting relationships. In conclusion, the Pope told the members of the movement that it was their mission as Catholic Action to reach out to these people as they are, to make them grow in the love of Christ and their neighbour, and to lead them to a greater concrete commitment. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
And finally, in an exclusive interview with L'Osservatore Romano, Pope Francis speaks about his devotion to Saint Joseph. And he says parents who face challenges for the sake of their children are heroes. Christopher Wells tells us more.
I have never hidden the closeness I feel towards Saint Joseph, says Pope Francis in his interview with L'Osservatore Romano. The Holy Father explains that Saint Joseph represents, in a simple and beautiful way, what Christian faith should be for all of us. The foster father of Jesus was an important protagonist of the beginning of the story of salvation, in the early years of Jesus' life, the Pope says. Saint Joseph was a man of marked spirituality who knew how to distinguish God's voice among all the other voices we hear, and who knew how to respond to God and to trust in Him in finding creative solutions to the difficulties of this life. Pope Francis says, too, that St. Joseph is a bright witness in our day, in the days of the pandemic, someone who can encourage and inspire us and help us find the right course to follow in these trying times. In his interview, Pope Francis also considers St. Joseph as a model of fatherhood, helping young people, who will someday become fathers themselves, to understand how to love and raise their own children. Paternity, says Pope Francis, does not mean dominating or controlling children, but helping them to grow. It means having the humility to know when to step aside, having helped their sons and daughters to become protagonists of their own, to make their own choices, and to become their own person. The Pope also addresses the plight of parents who struggle to provide for their families, especially due to the ongoing pandemic. These fathers and mothers, he says, who have the courage to risk their lives for their love of their children and their families, are true heroes. May these fathers turn with trust to St. Joseph, knowing that as a father, he too had the same experience, the same injustice, the Pope says. Adding, I'd like to say to all of them and to their families, do not feel alone. The Pope remembers them always, and as far as possible, will continue to give them a voice and will not forget them. I'm Christopher Wells.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News, but you can read the full interview of that discourse in English translation in this week's issue of L'Osservatore Romano or in the Vatican News web portal. My thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.